So we're back in the post game, Cenk and John. And my son asked me the other day, "Baba, did you ever cry?" And I said, "Oh yeah, of course I did." And then it reminded me of the topic we're going to talk about today, which is Star Trek. One of the first things I remember crying about was that back in Turkey that I missed the Star Trek episode because we were stuck in traffic.
Wow, original series, I assume.
Yeah, of course. We were going back home from some summer thing, and it was really bad traffic. And I loved Star Trek, and I wanted to get back in time by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever it was on, right? And my parents assured me, no. Yeah, we'll make it back in time. We'll make it back in time. And then it got to be the time, and we didn't make it, and we kept going. And I remember, I must have been six, I guess. I don't know. And I remember crying about it. And I think it was partly because I missed it, and partly because I felt slightly betrayed by my parents.
Did they know all along that you wouldn't be back in time?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It did get me to question for the first time, like, do these folks have my best interest in mind?
So it's funny, because that's before my time of watching TV necessarily. But even when I was like growing up, like I wonder the people now, I think that there's still a lot of people who are old enough, but like it's increasingly the case where they won't even understand what that anxiety was like. Yeah. If you didn't catch it when it was on,
gone.
You might never see it. There's reruns maybe.
No.
Maybe someday.
So let me explain Turkish television back in the day. So I grew up in Turkey from when I was born till I was 8 years old. Then I moved to New Jersey, right? Television did not come on till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
There was just nothing.
There was nothing until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
And it went till midnight, and then it was done. Okay, and then you had nothing until 4 o'clock again. And it was black and white. And when it came on at 4 o'clock, they would play the Turkish national anthem. Okay, and like a dork, I would stand up. Later, my friends told me that was deeply embarrassing.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
But I'm also not at all surprised to find out that you did that.
Yes. And I remember the first thing that would come on was a cartoon, Heidi. We rather enjoyed Heidi.
Is that about the dog?
No, it's about a young girl up in the Alps with her grandfather, and she milks cows and floats on clouds.
Wow.
So, of course, Edwin, being 82 years old, remembers it.
You remember that?
The Heidi game.
The Heidi game? I don't know it.
Raiders and Jets.
Oh yeah, there was something about that, right? The Raiders and Jets, and they got interrupted by Heidi, and people lost their shit. Right, right. Well, I, as a young kid, would have enjoyed that it was interrupted by Heidi.
Huh.
And so the most popular show on television when I was growing up in Turkey was
Heidi.
No, Ahmed and Mehmed. No, I'm kidding. It was Dallas.
Yeah, I
got it. Right? And
wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
I've never seen an episode of Dallas. I only know it kind of from The Office, where they have that joke about the board game Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. No, growing up, I watched Dallas all the time. I remember when J.R. Ewing was shot, and I remember we had a guessing game at the Cub Scouts on who killed J.R.
Was it a mystery on the show?
Yeah, it was a giant mystery. That was like the biggest mystery in television history because it was a season-ending cliffhanger. J.R., the main character, gets shot, and no one knows who shot him. Okay.
Oh my God! Is that what the Simpsons thing comes from? Because they had Mr. Burns got shot, and they were trying to figure out who did it.
Of course, that's where it comes from.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So. Our Cub Scout thing had gotten together, and we'd played a competition, our little pack versus the other packs. And I remember it was in my elementary school. This is obviously in New Jersey, and one of the things we had to figure out was who shot JR, right? And I think way in the beginning of TYT history, I would sometimes say something like, "Who shot JR Jackson?" Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, and everybody guessed the one that everybody thought shot him. And I was like, no. Not only is that not true, I'm going to give you the wild card option here, the one they didn't suspect.
The baby.
Yeah. And I'm going to insist on it. Okay? And my dad was, for whatever reason, the Cub Scout leader that day, which he didn't understand what that meant, right? Mm-hmm. But he was like, I get it, you're playing some sort of game. I get it, the other kids are all guessing one thing and Cenk is guessing the other. I should be fair to the other kids, but I won't, because I know that Cenk is probably right, because he's really good at this TV thing. We're going with Cenk's answer. Okay, fair or not fair, I don't know, but we went with my answer and I was right.
Huh.
Which about defines my entire existence.
Yeah. So there were clues you could actually figure it out? I mean, because there's a lot of mysteries on TV that are not solvable until after the fact.
No, okay, it was definitely solvable. It was because I understood at that point, I was probably nine. I understood that TV is not going to just give you the like straightforward answer. It's not an interesting drama if it's a straightforward answer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the answer you don't expect. Right?
I don't know, have you seen a Transformers movie? They don't feel any need to go below the surface.
Yeah, right. Well, and so to this day, my wife will be amazed, because I can tell almost any scene that's coming up next what they're going to do. Because I've watched enough TV and movies, and it's not that hard to figure out, right? And every once in a while, there'll be a movie where I can't guess the next scene. I'll be like, whoa, this is exciting. Huh. Like a TV show maybe by the name of Game of Thrones, where I'm like, oh, well, I know what you're saying. Oh, that didn't happen at all.
Yeah.
That was, whoa, what is this, right?
Yeah, I thought that I was good at that. And usually I think that I can figure things out in movies, but then I watched Westworld.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get nothing. Like stuff people had figured out in the second episode turned out to be true. I didn't even know what was going on for most of that show.
Well, that was also a little confusing too, though. Like unintendedly confusing.
But some of like the biggest mysteries, like I guess I don't want to spoil anything, but like the Man in Black, the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who literally had predicted that after the first or second episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was hard to predict.
I don't know how it's possible.
Anyway, but to come all the way back around to the point about the temporal existence of television, no, for the great majority of my life, if you didn't catch it then, it was gone.
Yeah.
Like reruns came later. Like that's how old I am. In the beginning, there were no reruns. So if you didn't catch Dallas that night, it was. And we didn't know that later there would be reruns. We didn't know later there would be an internet. We can catch it anytime we like.
Did you DVR it? Or?
So if you were not back,
it's probably full.
If you were not back in time for the beginning of Star Trek, you were never going to see it.
Yeah, that's okay. Brutal.
In fact, super fun fact: when Netflix first came out, I'm like, so we were getting the DVDs and stuff, and then I found out, oh, they're doing this thing where you could watch the shows online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's super trippy. I went back and found that episode.
Did you really?
And watched it, swear to God.
What episode
first thing
is
I
it?
Ever watched on Netflix online.
What's the episode?
Yeah, it was the one where, not where they're gangsters, the one where they're Nazis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
you get Voyager episodes where they're Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I want to go back to the temporal nature of TV, but on the I watch Star Trek. I love Star Trek. I've read tons of the novels. I've played the games. I've done all that stuff. I've watched almost none of the original series. And the one or two episodes I've seen,
it was great.
I don't like it.
Oh, it was great.
It is. It's very much like a lot of old sci-fi. It's a step too far for me. I cap out at Next Generation. I can't go any farther back than that.
But I would argue until. I've still got, so is what's best, the original series or Next Generation? It's the oldest question in dork history, mm-hmm. right? And as much as a lot people love the original episode, and I love it, I mean, you know, I grew up on it, as you can tell. I mean, I literally wept if I didn't see it. But no, Next Generation was better. It was a little smarter, or maybe a lot smarter. Same guy, Gene Roddenberry.
It had more complex stories,
I think. Yes, yes.
Although the original series did have social commentary and all that.
Enormous social commentary. That's why Star Trek was great. It was smart. It was enormously progressive.
Yeah.
Star Trek's the first time that there was an interracial kiss on television. Gene Roddenberry was a massive liberal.
They had a Russian crew member at the height of the Cold War.
That's right. That's right. And so I have 1,000 connections to Star Trek. I wound up interviewing like half the original cast.
Really?
Uhuru, Chekhov, Sulu, Scotty.
Doohan? I think
it's the last name of Doohan. Yeah. And so which was super cool. And then wait, oh, and then Jill Pike, our original co-host, do you know this fact?
What?
Her father greenlit The Next Generation when he was head of
really?
Paramount.
I didn't know that her father was involved in TV at all.
Yeah, he was head of Paramount
Studios. Smart man.
And he came in and told, these are all on Young Turks interviews somewhere, I don't know, the lost tapes. Mm-hmm. If you didn't catch it, it's gone. which is true of some of the Young Turks episodes. Yeah. But he told great stories about Roddenberry and how they did the show. And like Patrick Stewart came in to audition. And John Pike was like, absurd, he's bald, we're not doing that.
You're fired, get out of here.
Right. And Roddenberry,
he was so good.
Roddenberry convinced him, and he's like, thank God he did, right?
Yeah, he was perfect.
And then he told a story about how he negotiated with Roddenberry, with Patrick Stewart once. And it was pretty like, it was pretty like.
Negotiated with him.
Yeah, because you, as the head of the studio, he has to negotiate a salary.
Yeah.
And when the contract comes up, it's a big deal. Are you going to get Picard back or are you not going to get him back?
You kind of need him.
Yeah, well, so he wants to make him believe that he didn't need him. And that was the story, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for the record, this will be later on trivia. I would rank them Voyager, Next Generation, Enterprise, DS9 original series, if I had to say. So you can go back to that. And just because the new, I've been watching the new show, I've watched the whole first season, but one season's not enough to go on. It's good. I think that if you like Star Trek, you should watch it. If you don't like Star Trek, you should watch it because it doesn't rely on really any knowledge of previous shows. And it's not like the previous shows. It's very cinematic. It feels much more like the new movies, actually. And it's good, and it's different in a lot of ways. And it's weird to be a Star Trek fan now that we not only, after this huge gap of like a decade, we have a new show. We have two new shows, basically. You have Star Trek Discovery and you have The Orville at the same time. And The Orville, if you've only seen the ads on Fox, you might think that it's like Galaxy Quest, that it's a parody of Star Trek. But it's really not. The ads are deceptive. It's Next Generation with a couple of awkward jokes of a Seth MacFarlane nature. But it's very much just regular Star Trek. And so we get to watch both of these shows. And they're different. The new one, the new Star Trek Discovery is very dark. It feels more like Battlestar Galactica than anything else. The Orville's very like sort of more campy and bright and everything. But it's amazing that after this long gap where we, if you were a Star Trek fan, all you had were the video games and the books and things like that. And now two series at the same time.
You geeked out so hard there that I'm afraid you pulled a hamstring.
Like, yeah.
That was a lot of geek stuff in there.
Yeah, I burned through all my dilithium in that one rant.
Yeah, that's anyway. Right. But I cared about the Roddenberry stuff. I mean, I watched the movies, right? Mm-hmm. But like even Voyager was like, to me, was like, okay.
I love the characters.
And Deep Space Nine is where I ended it.
I only watched the first season of that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, we do shamelessly clothe our women, inviting others to unclothe them. Okay, and so, but the Ferengi could only go so far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're funny or whatever.
Yeah. So, but Roddenberry was great because he was the two things we already mentioned: smart, super progressive. But he also built great characters. Mm-hmm. So, God, Kirk and Spock. I mean, those are probably two out of the top 10 characters in TV history. Mm-hmm. And then you go, how are you going to beat that? And let alone Bones and Scotty and all these great, great characters. And then you go to The Next Generation and Picard and Number One and Worf.
And Data was really interesting.
Data was amazing, let alone Deanna Troi.
Was amazing, yeah.
And Beverly.
Obviously, Wesley Crusher was the best.
Yes. Get the boy off the bridge.
But yeah, a lot of those characters. Like Star Trek is great at producing shows where you just wish you had a spinoff. But like I just want Geordi and Data to be in a shuttle and go like hunt pirates or something. And I would watch that show. I'd watch like five seasons of it.
You saw the story the other day where they confused.
Yes. LeVar Ball for LeVar Burton.
Yeah, LeVar Burton, who's Geordi LaForge in Star Trek. Got into anything, dong, whatever. And they thought he was LeVar Ball that Trump got his son out of China, kind of. And so they're like, you ungrateful son of a bitch black guy. Like, what? Like, where did that come from?
I'm on Reading Rainbow. Back off. Yeah. There's some chance they might be racist.
No.
I think some chance. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hence my love of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And last comment, Star Trek The Next Generation I had at number one TV series of all time. Then The Wire happened, and then The Sopranos was, I'd still say Nip and Tuck with Next Generation, and then Game of Thrones.
And then there was Nip Tuck.
Which obviously. I did watch.
Yeah, I like Nip Tuck.
For like 3.5 seasons, that's, and then it got weird.
It's almost exactly how long I listened for, or watched for. Yeah, and then Game of Thrones.
And then Game of Thrones. So I got Game of Thrones. Top five was probably still Game of Thrones, The Wire, Seinfeld, Next Generation.
Seinfeld?
Yes.
I love Seinfeld.
No, it was consistently hilarious.
For years and years,
and it bound the country together. And even got my parents to love it, except my mom still hated Kramer.
Well, in the end, he did some stuff after the show.
Turns out she was
right. On the show, he was great, so funny, one of the best characters of all time.
If I'm making top 10 characters in TV history, Costanza's up there.
He's pretty damn good. Yeah. At some point, we should actually do like our top 5 or top 10. I will simply mention that. It's hard for me because there's shows like dramas like Game of Thrones, but also like it's one of the only procedurals I've ever watched. But House, I love that show. And then you have comedies like Arrested Development or Archer is amazing. Always Sunny, which apparently nobody watches. I don't know how that's not the most popular comedy on TV. Always Sunny has been funny for like 13 seasons now, and nobody watches it.
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. I watched 2.5 seasons of that, and
but that's when it was just starting to turn into itself.
Okay, and before Brian Unger came on, and the Ungertaker really took off there, but
he's a great character.
Yeah, but the problem was that Charlie yelled too much. You know,
he does yell.
There was a lot of this, and I was like, okay, all right, I'm exhausted.
Okay, well that continues, and he's not the only one. Everybody yells now.
Yeah, everybody yells nonstop.
But it's, for me, it's very much like what I like about Seinfeld is that it is for people who are sort of selfish and self-interested that get into these scraps, and Always Sunny just says, you know what? Let's just amp that up by like a lot more. Where they're not just self-interested. One's probably a sociopathic sex criminal, and one is an illiterate drunk, and the other, like, they're even more amplified.
Well, that sound really appealing.
It's awesome, and Brian Unger's really good. He's got some great scenes with Charlie, actually.
Yeah. I met Charlie once at Arianna Huffington's house.
That's awesome. I want to meet Charlie.
I got his phone number, and then I called him to come on the show, and he's like, no.
He's like a big movie star now.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, all right. Much love, guys. We'll see you tomorrow on the Power Panel.